The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bring it in front, and it's scored! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Misiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, Josh. And yes, we're all ready to go with the Joe Schott Hour, coming off a sweep for Michigan Tech hockey over Huntsville, and now get set to head on down to Mankato to take on Minnesota State on Friday and Saturday night. We'll have both games for you on Mix 93 WKMJ. Good morning, Coach Sean.
Good morning, Dirk. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being with us today. We're excited to talk about Michigan Tech hockey, and I know you weren't in the greatest of moods after the win yesterday because you weren't too happy with the way the guys played in that second game, but we did get the sweep on the weekend. Job, mission accomplished, I guess, but you were looking for a little bit better things, it sounded like, on Sunday's afternoon's game.
Yeah, I like the way that our guys competed defensively. I thought we played extremely well. We limited scoring opportunities. I thought we played well defensively, some individuals much better than others. And I certainly liked the way that Huntsville played. They competed like we saw them on video competing against Lake Superior a couple of weeks ago when they played before the break. What I didn't care was how, was our attention to detail on our offensive side of the puck. And that's, you know, that takes even more compete sometimes because it's fighting to get open against coverage and things like that. So I didn't like the way I thought that we had guys that wanted to get soft offense. And I thought really that in a lot of ways, Alabama, forced the issue defensively, and dictated the tempo of the game defensively. And we weren't able to execute offensively. That was the part. And I thought guys fought that. So that was the part that was disappointing. You want to have as much fun scoring goals as you do, more fun than you do defending. We spent a lot of hard work defending, and I don't think we put as much effort in creating offense, which yesterday was much harder to do.
So can you do us a favor, Coach, and you talk about cheating for offense and that we saw some of that in yesterday's game. Can you explain to a listener or give an example of what that would be?
Well, I can give a couple examples. One would be where we have guys that when a guy has the puck down low, let's say below the goal line, where we have one and two guys down there waiting in open positions, hoping that guy can get him the puck somewhere where there's not coverage and traffic, without any attention to detail to the defensive side of the puck. And then you're putting a lot of pressure on your defenseman when you lose that battle. There, you know, you're chasing the puck now, and your defenseman can't get tight gaps, and you can't get transition offense off of that because you didn't have enough bodies above the puck. Everything works, you know, everything works kind of in a similar fashion on transition plays where it starts out a certain way with bodies usually in a pretty designed position defensively. And so what you do off of that is based on where you move to get open off of that based on your defensive coverage. I don't think our offense came off our defensive coverage. And another area where I'll say that happens a lot is where you want to play, you want to get the ice so that the boards aren't working against you. You don't want to just get, you know, make plays where you're always shoveling up the boards, skating up the boards and being able to be sealed off. Because now the boards are an extra defender really working against you. You can't really do much. You have to have everybody come across to you to help you. So you're really using only a portion of the ice. We did a lot of that where we went into the support ice and didn't play in the critical ice. And when we're having success, we're playing more, and where any team's having success, they're playing more through the middle of the ice and through the critical ice and not allowing the defenders to play through that. That's where I thought Mankato dictated a lot of the play because they were able to get us into the support ice, the area outside the dots, and then let the boards work for them. So all we could do is keep throwing the puck around the wall and trying to win battles to bring it to the net, and then they were bringing a lot of guys around those battles, and we weren't able to do that.
You mean Huntsville, right?
I'm talking about Huntsville did a good job of keeping us to the outside all over the ice, and then the puck stays on the outside. Now, we did a good job of that as well because we only gave up very limited offensive chances. We did a good job of that as well. That's why it was a low-scoring 2-1 game because there wasn't much critical ice and there weren't a tremendous amount of scoring opportunities.
Is there also cheating for offense that happens in the neutral zone, Coach?
Well, yeah, sure. Guys will go and they'll rush to get behind defenders when you don't have time and space, where the guy with the puck doesn't have time and space to make the play. Again, if you're caught along the wall, let's say we go D to wing, or you're caught along the wall, and guys are waiting with their sticks up in the air at the far blue line, when the guy with the puck doesn't have, he has a guy all over him, he doesn't have a chance to make a nice threaded pass to you, well, that just sets up offense for the other team, and now you're chasing the puck again. And oftentimes you have two and three guys outside the dots, a defenseman who made the pass, the guy receiving the pass, and then a guy waiting at the far blue line for the puck. Then when you lose possession of the puck, you have limited numbers in critical ice in between the dots, and it, you know, you're just chasing the puck now, and they're making you go 200 feet to create your offense. So we'd rather, if you don't have a play, you know, you're in a good position supporting. If you don't have a play, you put the puck up into a safe area, or at least an area you can forecheck. You have guys above the puck then, and when you get in possession, you're transitioning that with some sort of support. D can jump in, things like that. You have good gaps between your forwards and your defense so that shorter passes can be made and everything isn't going for home runs.
We're talking with head coach Joe Schaan. It's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Very good weekend of goaltending, Coach. You got both goaltenders in. Both got wins. Blake gets another shutout. Mark Sinclair gets his first win as a Husky, and it was against his former team. You really couldn't ask much more from the Netminders.
No, they weren't beat on a shot all weekend. Even the goal that went in was a front play. They're passing from below the goal line. It went off of our player's skate and into the net. Our goaltenders didn't get beat on a shot all weekend. Extremely proud. I talked to Mark last night because harder game than people would imagine. Mark's playing against, he's got the pressure playing against his old team to start with, who's kind of in a little bit of an underdog role at this particular time with their young team, our more veteran team and things like that. So, and coming off of a pretty good performance in a 4-0 win the night before. So, he's riding some, you know, added pressure to start with. Then, you know, we're up 2-0 and then we give up it's a 2-1 game and it rode that way from the, you know, through the second and third period, a 2-1 hockey game. So every single play, every attempt on goal, everything is magnified and he's trying to beat his old team, you know, with them wanting to beat him badly for leaving the program and you know, and then it's on top of that, trying to get himself back into the net and getting a starting position again. So I thought he handled extremely well. He made some big saves, none bigger probably on the 6-on-5 with the goalie out. They were able to find a back door. We missed it clear and gave the puck away in the slot, and they were able to find a hash mark one-time shot, and he was on it solid and was square and took it, made a big save on it. There was no desperation or anything. So I thought he played outstanding. I told him that after the game. I was extremely proud with the way he handled the pressure and saw us through that win. That was a grinding win. Huntsville played extremely hard, and it was a grinding win.
Nick Nardella gets his first career goal as a Husky on Saturday in that game one against Huntsville. He had a brilliant assist right before that, and he was one of the guys that we were praising, and of course you did too. He had a nice weekend of hockey, and nice to see him really contribute.
Yeah, and even on Saturday, he made a couple of really good plays. Nick's big deal is that when he's away from the puck, he has to get in better support positions and get himself available a little bit more often. But he's getting much better at that. He won some battles and created scoring chances on both nights for us. And I thought he made some good plays on Saturday as well that generated offense for us. So he's growing. He's becoming an integral part. We need him to stay hungry and continue to grow and continue to learn to compete, because he's not the biggest guy in the world and he's not the heaviest guy in the world. And so he needs to rely on tenacity and speed and body position to be involved in the game. And he's learning to do that, and he paid big dividends for us on Friday, or on Saturday, and I thought again on Sunday he played a pretty strong game overall.
So Nick is listed as 175, 5'10", 175, and do you expect him to put some mass on? He's not a huge guy anyway, but do you expect...
Well, I don't think he's 5'10", 175 either, I'd say.
That's why I said listed.
Exactly, 5'9", 155, maybe 150. He could be. He might come in and say, hey, coach, come with me and walk me to the scales, but I think that's a bit of a stretch. So, but he's playing, you know, it's not the, what do they say? It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog, and he's developing some good fight.
Well, a 4-0 win on Saturday, a 2-1 win yesterday, and we'll take a look at some of the highlights here on Mix 93 in the Joe Schon Hour.
Right back across the line again. Good speed across. Mock it in. Here's a pass to the front. A shot and a score. Held in. Able to bury it for the Huskies and make it a 1-0 lead for Michigan Tech here in the second period. 13-18 remaining. And that was Nardella with that great pass. Nardella picks it up. Nardella, offhand, makes it to his forehand, to the front of the goal, scores! And that will count. That went off a Charger skate, I believe, and in. And I believe Nardella's going to get credit for the goal. And if so, that will be his first of his career. And the Huskies take a 2-0 lead.
So you can talk a little bit more about those two plays by Nardella, Coach?
Well, again, they were both on him narrowing the ice. The first one, it was on he made it a 2-on-1. He pulled away from some traffic, picked up a loose puck, and was able to get the defenseman to deck out, lay down, and slid it through, and got it to Hallinen on the back door, and Brian opened up. It was a really good pass in an area where Brian could handle it well. A quick tight play around the goal area, and he had to make it through the player that had laid down, and he made the play, and Brian put it up over top of the goaltender, you know, inside the far post, but had basically the whole net to shoot at. So that was a good play. And then the second one, he picked up a loose puck again and drove it inside and then went around the defenseman and brought it into hard ice, brought it into the net area. And there were a lot of bodies in there, and it could have hit two or three different guys and went in. Nick was credited with the goal. Either way, he would have gotten an assist if it wasn't him. But I believe it went off of a Huntsville defender, much as Huntsville's goal on Sunday went off of our guy. Again, you bring the puck into hard ice areas, bounces, a stick here, a stick there, and pucks will go in the net. And that's where we want to play, in those critical ice areas. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit for getting his nose in there. That's the area we've been challenging him on. Even when we were recruiting him, that was the discussions we had. Get more involved in the game. Get the puck on your stick more. You make plays when you do. And I thought there was good progression last year in Janesville. And he's taking everything in and learning and absorbing and doing a great job.
Bliss back up top for Rockwell. Back over for Bliss in the right top circle. Had a guy right on him. Bliss spins away from that check. Down low. Here's a one-timer to the backside of the net. Scores! Trenton Bliss was in the right spot at the right time. And had it bounce in. And the Huskies are making it look real pretty, but they're getting them in and lead 3-0 on a power play goal.
You know, but it was pretty, maybe not the actual goal, shot into the goal, but it was a pretty power play, I thought, on that one, Coach.
Yeah, and we made a little a change on that to get guys in different positions so we could maybe have a different look and create that opening that we did create. We did the same thing the next night and tried to create that opening. And the next night, the puck went in. Rockwell shot it yesterday and shot it and went in. On this one, it was a rebound that popped out, and I believe it was Blister that was there that kind of a similar goal in some ways to the goal against Michigan State last year at the GLI, where he didn't get a lot of it, but he was in a good spot where the goaltender wasn't able to relocate his box and get it over there, and he was able to get that puck to go into the net.
Tyler Rockwell had a pretty good weekend of offense.
Now it's Tarantino going to the weak side point. Here's Rockwell with a shot, and he scores! Tyler Rockwell with the goal, glove side, and the Huskies go up 4-0.
So Tyler Rockwell with a couple of goals this week, and we'll hear the other one a little bit later. But both of them wrist shots, Coach, and nice to see. I think both of them were wrist shots, if I remember right.
Well, they're kind of, Tyler's got kind of that snap wrist shot, that quick little, that short back, you know, like a chip play in hockey, where very short backswing and more on the follow through. So they were both similar shots for sure, in the same location as well.
Tommy Paratino and Trenton Bliss get an assist on that last goal. That was Saturday's game. 30-18 were the final shots in favor of Michigan Tech. We were 1-for-3 on the power play. They were 0-for-2, and the penalty kill still looks pretty good. Coach, was even though we didn't give up any goals shorthanded, was there anything you were concerned about? Because to me, the penalty kill just looked good all weekend.
Penalty kill's been good. Nothing major. There were a couple things. We got caught on a line rush. Blake made a couple of really good saves on a backdoor play on the penalty kill on a rush, and then on a straight up line rush. So a couple things we have to shore up, but those are more individually based, personnel based, not tactically based. So I thought the kill units did special teams defensively, everything we did defensively was good. Power play was good all weekend long, which was good to get some goals. We'd been getting chances. Now a few of them went in the net for us. So we still got to get some goals, some production out of the Paratino unit. That power play unit's got to get a little bit more production for us.
Tyler Rockwell scored again on Sunday, yesterday afternoon. Here's Kataroff now, the Swede. Nice maneuver back to the point now for Goats. And back to the weak side. Here's scores! Rockwell from the exact spot he scored last night. It's his second of the weekend, second of the season. That one on the power play, and a 1-0 lead for Michigan Tech. So the Huskies go up 1-0, and then it was Chris Leip, another defenseman with a goal. 15:27 left to go here in the first period. 1-0 Michigan Tech. Kataroff gets it back to the point. Leip with it. Shot. This one scores! Leip with the goal. It's his first of the season. I don't think anybody hit that on the way in. 2-0 Michigan Tech. Did you like both of those plays, Coach? And of course they went in, but did you like what you saw there?
Loved them. I love the production out of our defense. I love the, you know, when you get production out of them, I love the growth of our defense. I think that, you know, it'd be hard to separate who was better between Leip and Rockwell this weekend, but I think that pairing was certainly our top pairing. Very, very limited trouble in the defensive zone. They broke the puck out clean. They transitioned in the neutral zone clean. They were good in the offensive zone. Rocky got involved in the power play. Leiper was highly involved in the penalty kill. I thought they were our top two defensemen on the weekend. I thought they did an outstanding job.
How does the does the role change at all for somebody like Nick Nardella going from Saturday's game when he's the extra skater onto an actual line position on Sunday? Does it change a whole lot for their mentality, do you think?
I don't think so, because we still have that extra player that we're bouncing in, and a player like Nick is still playing some shifts at center and playing some shifts at wing. So I think he's just looking shift to shift. You know, you don't want expectations to change. I remember a few years ago, we had a wonderful player here and a great player in our championship team a couple of years ago, Brent Baltus. And my first year here, he was being put with Alex Patan and Tanner Carroll. And, you know, those are 1 year. Tanner was the MVP of the league. The next year, Alex was the MVP of the league. Both All-American players. And at the start, it was on fire. It was just absolutely fantastic. Those guys were doing great. And then, all of a sudden, if Alex didn't get 2 points in a game, or Tanner didn't get a couple points or 3 points, then Baltz was feeling like it was him. And then the pressure, I think, got on Baltz in that regard. So you don't want your role to change. You're there because there's a reason you earned yourself into a position. We ended up changing, I think, putting Gould on that line, Malcolm Gould, on that line after a while, when I think Baltz gave us more energy, a better forechecking presence and things like that. But to get him, to get his game simplified so he didn't feel that pressure and kind of freeze himself with worry, we made that change, and it ended up working out for us. But you don't want Nardella's or anybody else's role to change. They're in a position for a reason. They've earned that position for that reason. Continue doing what you're doing. Get comfortable with transitions, with the different looks we have. Learn every little detail so you don't have to think. You know, Kobe Bryant said a great thing. If you ever want to study somebody and compete. Look up, and I my mistake was I was never a big Kobe fan. I don't follow basketball that hard, and I wasn't a big professional basketball anyways, and I didn't realize the true champion, the true leader that Kobe Bryant was. But he talks about things like, you know, he practiced so hard and extra practiced, tried to practice harder and more than anybody else did, so that he was widening the gap between him and all his competition, and so that when he was in any position in a game, there was no situation that he hadn't seen a thousand times, is the way he puts it. And he never, the people said they thought he had ice in his veins. He knew what he was comfortable doing in a critical situation. He knew what he wasn't comfortable doing, and he made sure he put himself in positions where he could do what he was comfortable doing and then just execute it like he practiced. So that's what we want our guys to do. Get yourself in every situation, the more difficult, the better, and get comfortable in those situations, learning the different aspects of it, and then just execute it when the time comes.
Oh, that's very interesting. All right, Coach, hang on there. We'll be right back. More of the Joe Schott Hour continuing right after this. You still have a chance to get a question into Coach if you're listening here live on Monday morning. The email address is dj@themix93.com. More of the Joe Schott Hour after this.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
This is Sarah. Leave a message.
Hey, Sarah, I wanted to catch you before you left. Don't come to our house for the party. There's been a change in plans. We got into some twisted tea, hard iced teas, and one thing led to another. And now we're at the billionaire's house, baby. Yes, the one with the airstrip. Look, the password at the gate is lobster. You gotta get here. Whoa, that's a llama.
Twisted tea. Keep it twisted.
Please drink responsibly.
Nerds. Have new money goals this year?
Make my credit card points actually mean something.
NerdWallet knows the smartest ways to make that happen.
Put a pool in for the kids before summer.
We can help you refinance.
Invest in women-owned companies.
Invest in my company.
Save for 1960 convertible.
Beautiful.
Just not reliable.
Discover and compare the smartest credit cards, mortgage lenders, and more, so you can make your money goals happen on NerdWallet. For all your money questions, turn to the nerds. NMLS 1617539.
Ooh, a fondue set. Ugh, now I need to find a coupon code.
Not anymore, Susan. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout.
Wait, instantly?
It's called shopping smart, not hard. Download Capital One Shopping to your computer for free and let it do the work for you.
Don't mind if I fondue.
Haha, that's kind of cheesy. Capital One Shopping. It's kind of genius. What's in your wallet?
Savings and available coupons vary.
Here's Bliss with a pass for Ford. He'll shoot, block, hook, loose block. Oh, and a great save by Fessenden. Hallinen looked like he had the whole corner of the net open. And I don't know how Fessenden got over there to make the stop. I was writing that one down as a goal already. That was an unbelievable save. Good play by the Huskies.
I remember that shot, man. I still could not. And looking at the replay, I was still expecting that to go in there for Hallinen on that one. Do you remember that one, Coach?
I don't. Which game are you talking about?
That was yesterday. That was, I don't know what point of
the... You're talking about the one that popped right out in the third period? It popped right out to the side?
Yeah, I believe
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I know the play you're talking about, yeah.
I could not believe he made that save. It was...
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was the third period. But anyway...
Yeah, it was, yeah.
The Huskies with a couple of victories over the weekend. You know, you brought up Kobe Bryant, Coach, and made me want to ask you... who influences you the most these days as far as you looking at somebody and saying, oh, that's a great idea, or I never looked at it that way? Is it other, is it former professional players or current professional players, somebody like Kobe Bryant or another hockey player that played or is playing now? Or is it more coaching, different coaches either at the NCAA football or whatever that influence you?
Well, you know what, I think it's just, I think I'm a try. First of all, I read biographies. I don't read, for the most part, fiction, unless they have a biographical essence to them. But I think it's, I think I just really am captivated by real greatness. I'll give you another Kobe example. You know, he's a leader on the team. He's trying to build the team. And again, if people are intrigued by this stuff, I'd look at it. There's a lot of things, a lot of sit downs with Kobe Bryant, especially after he retired, where people asked, what was that Mamba mentality? That's what he referred to it as. And so the guys, you know, guys want to go out, and especially the new guys, they want to hang with Kobe. And they're in the NBA, and they're young, and they're, you know, vibrant, and they want to go out. And Kobe says, sure, I'll go out. I'll drink with you. I'll do your thing. That's great. And he goes out with the guys. And they're out late. But the next morning at 5 a.m., Kobe's knocking on everybody's door, and he says, okay, boys, come on, let's go. I did your gig last night. You're going to do my gig now. Let's go to the gym. It's time to get to work. That's showing that, okay, if you're going to play that game, if you're going to run your life that way, you better be able to do it the other way, because we're here to be basketball players. Every part of what we do, our job is to be the best we can be at everything that we do. And Kobe's big deal was put in the time, put in the quality time. He had another philosophy that I think is great, that he said, hey, the way I look at it, I could get up at noon like most people do and get up and eat and go work out and come back and then relax and then get up the next day. Or I could get up at 8 and go work out and then come back and eat and then go back at noon. Or I can get up at 5 and go work out and come home and eat and then go back at 10 and come back and then go back at 2 and then go back at 8. He says, and if I'm doing that, I'm getting 4 or 5 workouts in a day, where other people are getting, some are 1, the most is 2. I'm getting 3 times more work than more chance to get better than they are. Now, that won't show up immediately, but over a 5-year period, they don't have a chance of playing at my level. They don't have an absolute chance. Now, this is a guy that got 60 points in his last game as a pro. 60 points in his last game in the NBA. Again, I didn't appreciate the greatness of him when he played. So to answer your question, I try to look after things that are different outside the box, because you'll find commonalities in those things. And they're usually the attention to detail, hard skill, the willingness to compete at every part of the game and to be great at every part of your craft. And again, there's a great book out there. It's called Good to Great, by a guy by the name of Collins that did this with companies and said, okay, this company looked at all these companies, made some thresholds, did about a 4 or 5 year study and said, okay, this is what a great company is. Now let's go find companies that meet that, you know, exceed expectations on growth in a year and things like that. And found the commonalities within those. And they're the same within sport. They're the same within family structure. They're the same within everything. So that's kind of what I gravitate towards and try to surround myself with.
Oh, very good. We appreciate it. Coach, let's take a quick look at the other WCHA action over the weekend. And what can you say about Minnesota State at the Barry Event Center, not giving up a goal? McKay with 2 more shutouts to add to his 1 million in 10 that he has already. Just really pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I think what the league should do, and I'm saying this in jest, is give... You don't get points for beating Mankato. You get points for scoring on them.
Yeah.
So if you get 3 goals in a game, which is, I'm sure, the most you're going to get, you get 3 goals in a game, that's as good as a win. They might get 3 for beating you or whatever, but they get their points for the outcome of the game. You get your points for if you're whether to score. It's uncanny how I think McKay already has 4 shutouts on the year. The team may have 5, something like that, in 8 games or whatever it is, same as last year. It's just crazy, and then they score as well. And like I said, they're the way they do things, the way they where they're at within the depth of their team, whereas they have so many good players not playing, just because it's not enough to have skill. They need hard skill. They want hard skill. We're still trying to develop, get to that level where we have that hard skill, and that means, you know, that means defensively and offensively, where you're creating those scoring chances in hard ice areas and figuring the game out and learning, again, every detail, and where guys are coaching each other on the bench. Hey, listen, this is what they're doing. Let's do this. That's where we're trying to get to. And again, I think we were a little farther along before the break than we were this weekend, but we'll get it back together, and it'll be a good chance, a good test for us this weekend against Mankato.
And Minnesota State ranking up, I think, 4 or 5 power play goals on the weekend, too. So us staying out of the box will obviously be a good thing, and our penalty kill might be put to the test again this weekend.
No, well, for sure. They're going to get their power plays. They always do. They know how to drop penalties. They compete hard, and they know calls that are made. They're good at doing what they need to do to get to the strengths of their game. I talked about that yesterday a little bit. You know, gamesmanship, whatever. They know how to draw penalties as well, and there's an art to that. And but they certainly compete, so you can't say that they don't play a really hard game. So you know they do what they need to do. They got a tremendous front runner for Rookie of the Year in Akito Hirose. He's doing a great job on the blue line for them. Borchardt's doing a great job as a transfer, as are a couple others, and then their depth that they've developed, Yuremko and those players are doing great as well. So dangerous 5-on-5, dangerous on the power play, dangerous on the penalty kill. Extremely smart hockey team.
Bowling Green with a couple of wins at Ferris State over the weekend. The first night was 6-1. Second was 4-2. Any thoughts on that series, Coach?
I'm not going to do anything to discredit. I think Ferris played him tough. I think that Bowling Green, if you look at the shots on goal and things like that, actually yesterday's game, the 4-2 game was more in favor, it seems, in tempo and flow for Bowling Green than the first night. I think that Ferris was able to generate some 37 shots or something on the first night, which they often do generate a lot of shots at home. And that first night, I believe it was a 6-1 win for Bowling Green. Bowling Green has, you know, they compete. They have skill. You know, they have a veteran defense. They're put together. They're ready to go this year. I believe they've only lost maybe one game in their last quite a few, 15, 18 going back into last year, a couple of ties in there, but only one loss, and that was this year to Mercyhurst. I think they went 8 or 9 or 10 straight last year. I think 8 straight without losing to end the year, something of that nature. So they got it going. They're rolling pretty good. I haven't seen them yet, so we're looking forward to get a chance to see them firsthand.
And the only other WCHA-related series was a non-conference series between Bemidji State and Lake Superior at Taffy Able Arena down in the Sioux. Friday night, or Saturday, was Bemidji 4-1 over Lake State, and the Lakers came back yesterday to tie it up 2-2, and I think they ended up winning it in the shootout, if I'm not mistaken, but ended up in a 2-2 overtime tie.
Yeah, you're right. Lake State won in a shootout. I believe there was a 2-0 lead going in the third for Bemidji. Lake State, like they did to us, I think that they pulled their goaltender. I'm not 100% sure on that. They scored like with 18:35 gone on the clock, so a minute and 25 or so left in the game. So I'm thinking that there's a good chance it was with the goalie out. We'll take a look at that but as we start doing our scouting and things. But I'd say they're pretty even teams. I like the way they both play. They both compete hard, and so I would have probably said either a slight sweep for Bemidji going into the weekend or a split.
You're right. That fourth or second goal for Calder there to tie it up was an empty net goal. I mean,
6-on-5.
Yeah, 6-on-5
with the goaltender, and then they did the same thing on us to tie the game late. And we were able to win that one in overtime.
Yeah.
No, they beat us.
Yeah,
they beat us in a shootout. So the same result.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Well, more questions. Let's get to some questions, and we'll do that right after the break. And again, if you have a question, you can get it in really quick right now. DJ@themix93.com. If you're listening here on Monday morning live, more of the Joe Schott Hour coming up after these.
Today tastes like movie night.
Okay, whose turn is it to choose?
And everyone's favorite hit, pizza and Coke. It tastes like a passionate debate. And settling for a classic.
Okay, pepperoni then.
Today tastes like front row seats for all. Like cushions and popcorn. And counting the seconds.
Pizza's here.
Today tastes like a slice of the action.
Hey, hit the light.
We belong here and now. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Don't forget, no family movie night is complete without a big comfy couch, your favorite pizza, and some delicious ice-cold Coke. Nothing tastes like everyone you love and everything you like coming together. Coca-Cola, together tastes better.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your go-to locations for officially licensed Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Visit us at bookstore.mtu.edu for our store hours as well as safe, quick, and easy shopping. Curbside pickup is available at University Images at the Student Development Complex. Order online, at checkout choose in-store pickup, and we'll contact you when your order is ready. Gift card options are available. Shop local, support local. We thank you for your patronage.
Bucko's Party Store in Calumet is ready to kick 2020 to the curb and ride in 2021 with some great deals store-wide. All 2 liters are 2 for only $3. Pepsi 12 packs of cans are 2 for $10. Check out the deals on 6 packs of 16-ounce canned beer. Bucko's has an excellent selection of jerky and sausage products along with Skinny Pete's bakery goods in the food department. Stay warm with Keweenaw alpaca gear and don't forget to pick up your snowmobile trail stickers, ice fishing licenses, and bait. Save your bucks at Bucko's. All sales do not include tax and deposit.
Michigan Tech at Minnesota State this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, 8:07 on Friday night, 7:07 on Saturday night. We'll have both games for you here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Right now, we're going to get to some questions for head coach Joe Schoen on the Joe Schoen Hour. And the first question for you, coach, is this. Coach, is it possible we will get any other non-conference games in before the end of the season?
Only if we run into some sort of a COVID issue, where and that would be if a team can't play us. We're basically full. Our schedule's full until the last weekend. The league purposely kept the last weekend open in case teams have to make up games to get enough games in for, you know, league play or to qualify for tournament play and things like that. So if, let's say, we're playing a team that we knew had COVID and there were a couple games missed, we might try to find a team to play, but chances of that probably are pretty low.
Next question is, how do you raise the compete level going into Mankato next weekend? Obviously, that is likely to be much more difficult of an opponent.
Yeah, when I talk about compete, you know, I don't want people to take what I'm saying the wrong way. I want to call hard skill. Hard skill. We competed. We didn't give up much on the weekend. We competed. We battled. We kept them to the outside. We limited the scoring chances against. We did what we had to do defensively. We competed. But it's the hard skill. It's the winning the battles. It's both the brains and the brawn on battle situations where we like to pride ourselves. Mankato certainly is a trendsetter. You won't see anybody in college hockey that competes any harder or wins more battle situations than Mankato. When I say we didn't compete hard enough, I don't think that we played with hard enough skill. You can defend, and that takes defending. We say that all the time. Defending is like your dog. It should always be there. That's grunt and grind and muck, and you know, you should always have your, you know, you call that dog always comes. Offense is a cat. You call it, it might come sometimes, it might not come sometimes. Better chance if it's hungry and you have food. That's your skill. And you want to try to find a way to turn that skill into a dog as well, so that it is always there. So I think, you know, we'll continue to work on it. There's tactics involved in that. There's training involved in that. We'll work hard on it as we always do.
Next question, coach. Considering the distance, will the team travel by plane or bus to play Minnesota State this coming weekend?
Bus.
Right. And let's get to the next question here for you. Coach, can you talk about Ashbrook's progress?
A week in, he's still learning us. We're still learning him. We gave him a chance to play on Saturday. On Sunday, I thought he was okay. It certainly gives us a basis to sit down and do video. Again, we want him to play with a high level of compete and be involved. He had positionally, he was okay because he's still trying to figure it out, trying to figure out the things that we do. And that's good training for a young man like that because You know, you're in the NHL, you play on a team that does one thing, you play on a team that does another thing, you play on a team that does another thing, you get traded from team, and then you get sent down to the minors, and they do something, and then you're back up to another team, and then you get traded, whatever happens. You have to learn and be exposed to all different ways to play the game. And he's figuring out the way we play the game right now, and we're figuring out how we can best utilize his skills for that game. So I thought he was okay. There's certainly still work for all of us to do.
Next question, Coach. How do you like to see a potential recruit's hockey resume look before they land on the Michigan Tech roster?
Well, we'd like to see them being one of the best players at the level that they're playing at, and that level is the highest level possible. There's certain leagues that are better than others, but a hockey player is still a hockey player, and you want to find players from no matter where they're at. Missiak, North American League players, been very good for us. Thorne's a Central Ontario Hockey League guy, Central Canada Hockey League guy. Ottawa area has been a very good player for us. Bliss, Bretschmann, the USHL guys, they've been very good for us. So wherever they come from, we want them to be the best at the level they are, and we want their level to be one that prepares them for college.
Can you rank the junior leagues, Coach, as far as how coaching staffs and everything looks at the junior leagues with the USHL and everybody else?
Yeah, without a doubt, nowadays the USHL is the top producer in quantity. Most guys that play in the USHL are going to get scholarships. It's just the way it is. And, the development program, which we don't have a tremendous amount of luck because of identity and things like that with those players, every once in a while you'd like to pop one or two of those off. But the development program would be number one. The USHL would be number two. And then from that point on, it's British Columbia League is more of a skilled league, less of a grind league. North America League is more of a grind league. With some skill, they're getting more and more European imports that make that league a little bit better, that adds so much to that league. I think the Central League is very comparable to those. Alberta's certainly comparable to those. We've gotten good players out of them. They're kind of a trend between the grind and the skill. So they're kind of in between the North American League. Alberta is between North American and British Columbia. And then Europe, certainly Europe is the elite Syrian league in Europe, which is the junior league, is not as good as the USHL. But there's a tremendous amount of skill, but not as much grind. So Finland, more grind and skill, but big ice. So, things don't happen as quick. There's still an adjustment.
I think you might have answered a question like this a couple of weeks ago, but here it is, Coach. How are the COVID restrictions affecting your recruiting process, and are you still able to bring recruits to campus, and are your assistants able to watch live games?
Well, we can watch live games on video, on television. We can't bring players to campus. We can't go to any locales. It's a dead period for recruiting. We can make phone calls, and we can recruit, remotely. So it's impacting it. But again, the other side of it is all players on this year's team are eligible to return for another year, even if you're a senior. So the necessary need to bring guys in, and that's creating issues throughout the entire, two things: the one-time transfer, which is allowing players to be stolen basically from other teams, or players to transfer without having to sit out, and no penalties for transferring. That's going to play into it. It's going to have to make you have to expand rosters, and on top of that, players returning, and some teams having to get in freshmen, or tell some freshmen that we're coming in. We have guys that weren't supposed to be coming back. I'm sorry, I know you're aging out of juniors, but there's not, we don't have room. There's nothing anybody can do about it. It's just a time that no one ever foresaw or has ever happened before. So there's some of that going on as well. So it's a difficult time. It's in recruiting overall, the whole gamut of it. And there's still a ton of unknowns.
Well, which begs the question, Coach, and obviously you don't want to talk about specific players, but has any of that conversation come up with the guys that are on the team right now as being seniors, as far as them coming back, or is that something that will be later in the season?
just sporadically. It's come up sporadically with some players, you know, that you can do this. Think about, you know, we'd like to have you, you know, to consider this. Think about what, you know, where you might be with it, and please let us know as soon as possible so we can act accordingly. So it's come up. It hasn't been real detailed yet in a lot of areas. When we get into some one-on-ones, we'll have a little bit more of those types of discussions.
All right, Coach, more questions coming your way in just a little bit. We're going to take a quick time out and be back with more of the Joe Schaan Hour. If you are listening on Monday morning, we'll give you one more shot here. DJ at themix93.com. If you can get it in right away, we'll ask that question for you. It's a Joe Schaan Hour right after this.
This is John Nelson, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor. It's time for some New Year's resolutions. Don't overreact to events. This spring, the market plunged, but patient investors were rewarded when the markets bounced back. Also, be prepared. Events like the pandemic are obviously rare, but it's never a bad idea to have an emergency fund. These aren't the only financial resolutions you can make, but following these may help you develop habits that could benefit you in 2021 and beyond. Give me a call at 482-8680. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Introducing the new Budweiser Nitro Gold. A lager brewed with nitro for a silky smooth finish. As smooth as my voice. So smooth, you'll enjoy hearing me read the legal disclaimer. Enjoy responsibly. 2020 Anheuser-Busch Budweiser Nitro Reserve Gold Lager. Ale in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri. All rights reserved. Kinda like new Budweiser Nitro Reserve Gold. Available now. That's right.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/news. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Head coach Joe Schaan with us. Got another question sent in, and here it is. Coach, has there been, and again, I think you've talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but has there been any comment on how the playoffs or the NCAA tournament will be structured or handled yet?
I haven't heard any. I know nothing about that. The phone calls regarding a lot of that, now that the season is going, have diminished. The national calls, the Zoom calls that I was a part of, are once a month now. So there's a committee that's on it. Bob Daniels is on that committee from Ferris State, and when we have a league call of some kind, I believe we have one this week. I'm sure he'll update us. That'll come up, and he'll update us on where that's at nationally.
Another question just coming in, Coach, spawning from our conversation about players being able to stay another year. Can Michigan Tech choose not to take back a senior if you decide to go separate ways with a player?
Yeah, absolutely. And the player can choose to go a different realm with the new one-time transfer unless they've already transferred once. So, and there will be, we're already seeing that. We're seeing that with extremely good players on extremely good programs. You know, we just saw St. Ivany leave Yale and go to Boston University, or Boston College, I believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's an All-American defenseman, a first-round, second-round NHL draft pick. Tristan Ashbrook came here. We're seeing that. A lot of it, the kid captain of Cornell that we were recruiting, a centerman, ended up going to, I believe, Vermont or Merrimack, one of them. I think it was Vermont. Those are just off the top of my head, but we're watching the portal all the time and watching what's going on, as everybody else is. And yes, the coaches will have that. Our obligation, our primary concern is that our players graduate. We want our players to graduate. We'll provide those opportunities.
So, you know, when you talk about the portal, coach, and the one-time transfer, it seems like overall, maybe that you're not a fan of it. Have you talked to other coaches and got their thoughts on it as far as how it affects them or how they think it should be?
Yeah, in honesty, it's not that I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of the collegiate game, you know, with the whole structure of it turning into a professional environment. Now, there's people that are for that, and you know, you can always track the money. The people that push this stuff the most are the people that have the most to gain to it, and where you have the most to gain is getting the best players. You know, you look at, let's say Duke in basketball. Now, I'm not saying they'll do this or they won't do this or whatever, but let's just say Duke in basketball. If you have three guys turning pro every year, three freshmen turning pro every year, that's hard to replace every year. Now, if you have three guys turning pro, but you can pick up a top player from Cincinnati and a top player from Butler and a top player from Villanova, because you're Duke. No discredit to any other programs, or you mean I don't know the hierarchy of college basketball, but makes things a heck of a lot different, and it certainly opens up lack of integrity. What I would like to see them do is, and I proposed this on a call, and on the call it was like crickets. No one on a national call, no one said a word, and I proposed it, but I got a lot, including from the committee chair, a lot of response from it positive and saying that basketball is going to look to do the same thing. I suggested, let's put in place a thing within the national letter of intent where you at least have an option there saying that a player is relinquishing their opportunity when you give them a scholarship for the one-time transfer, so that a big school, some big sexy school that had two players signed pro, first-round draft picks, doesn't come in and steal your players that you've spent time developing. This is college. There is a major investment in these players, a dollar investment on their education and on everything that goes into them. There should be some sort of a protection opportunity at least. Now, if a player then says, I don't want to sign that, then you decide whether you want, how many of those players you want to have on your roster that you don't have to protect, or versus losing four or five of your top players for whatever reason. That's not fair to a program, let alone, you know, a university can't even change a bad coach or an unpopular coach or whatever. A new coach could come in with no players and with, you know, in a bad predicament. So I just don't think it's healthy. So I actually propose that. I don't know if that'll get legs, but I was told that basketball is looking to do the same thing where at least you have that option to say, I relinquish it. Now, let me tell you where I came up with that idea. With the U.S. National Development Program, which is USA Hockey, they don't like losing their guys. They have millions of dollars invested in USA Hockey in the National Development Program for their development program teams, 15 or 16 and 17-year-old kids. They're all first-round draft picks, all a lot of NHL money coming in, a lot of money. They don't want to lose them. So they make a guy sign a thing, and I believe it's still the same way, that if you leave before your two-year commitment is up and go major junior, it's 50 grand. You have to pay 50 grand, which normally would be paid by the major junior team, to you, unless maybe you can work something out, but it's 50 grand. So if it's that important at that level, what makes that any difference with our level?
Absolutely.
Now you're getting into the likeness images where players can do commercials and get paid and everything, and, you know, that all comes down to schools that have big television contracts and things. So the whole gamut of it is changing. It's just trying to make the rich richer, and I don't think that's great for anybody.
Well, Coach, we're really looking forward to the weekend. The Huskies taking on the Mavericks of Minnesota State in a building that is usually loud with fans, and much like ours is a real home ice advantage. But it's still going to be a tough building to play in, without a doubt, and certainly one of the best teams in the nation. I know you're looking forward to the weekend, too.
I am, because you learn a lot in the prep when you prep for them. You learn a lot in the recaps when you're studying the series as they make you a better team. So I Mike is a good friend. Todd, you know, Bluey, they're good friends. They're you know, there's no program that's won more in their time, since Mike Scott and to Mankato, in the country than Mankato. They have the most wins. So always a pleasure to play them. They run things the right way.
Four shutouts this season, as you already mentioned, for Minnesota State. And, you know, we are the only team, I believe, to have beaten them so far earlier in the season. And how will practice be this week, Coach? With the guys still off, will you have early practices all week?
Yeah, today's an off day. You know, this is an off day, and then we'll get back at it tomorrow. We'll practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning, and we're going to actually get on the bus Thursday morning after our skate and make the drive over.
All right. And difficult, I would imagine, to get the travel roster going for this, to figure out who's going to be on the travel?
Well, yeah, you're bumped and banged up. You got to find out how guys recover from the weekend and where they're at. And, you know, we did protocol testing today, whatever they call it, the surveillance testing. We'll do our testing and make sure that that stays in line. And, you know, I think we have some depth, but there's obviously certain guys that no one can afford to lose.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks for your time. We had a lot of fun here today. Thanks for all the questions, ladies and gentlemen. And we want to remind you that the games this weekend are Friday and Saturday night. We'll be on the air at 7:30 Friday night with an 8:07 drop of the puck from Mankato, and then on Saturday it'll be an hour earlier, a 7:07 drop of the puck, 6:30 pregame, and both can be heard on Mix 93 WKMJ. Coach, have a great week of practice. Safe travels down there. We will see you on Friday, and looking to play one of the best teams in the nation, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks again.
Thank you, Dirk, and as always, thanks for everything you do.